Father, thank you for those words through Christ our Lord. Amen. Tonight we're going to do a teaching on spiritual guidance, and the example being the Apostle Paul. So we're going to begin it with something about Jerusalem, and so this is all going to center around Jerusalem. So we go to Matthew 23:37. Most of it's going to be in the book of Acts, but we'll start with Matthew 23:37. This also, it gives you an understanding why, not this teaching, but the Christ ministry was 6 months or less, and he's only in Jerusalem once during his ministry because it's a violent, wicked place. It'd be like Martin Luther going to Rome. He would have been killed if he would have gone to Rome. And when Yahushua went to Rome, he went to Jerusalem, what happened to him?
He killed.
Well, if it was a 3-year ministry, he would have been there 9 different times. So that gives you the validation. That's another story. 23:37. Jerusalem. And this is Yahushua saying that. That does what?
Slayeth
the prophets. Now this. So the enemy was not Herod. It wasn't the Roman government. Who was the enemy?
It's the
Christians today. It'd be the same situation. Those are the Hebrews today. And stoneth them that have been sent unto her. Now think of that. How often would I have gathered thy children like as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Lo, your house is left to you. For I say unto you, in no wise may you see me henceforth until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh. That is Jerusalem, and this is we're going to see how Paul goes to Jerusalem at one particular time and then wants to come back to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. And so we're going to learn the lessons of for our own lives to be able to say, even when we take a wrong turn, Yahweh and Christ can still make it beneficial to the best way they can. So really, and also, Jerusalem was a hotbed. Where was Stephen when he got stoned?
Jerusalem.
Same situation. So you think about it. So we're going to go with Acts chapter 9.
Is that where John the Immerser was?
Anyway, he got it by hair, so that's a little bit different.
Well, I'm just saying, where was he?
He was at Jordan, but obviously I don't know where Herod was, if he was in Jerusalem or Caesarea, so they had different places where the kings were. Either, supposedly they didn't like Jerusalem. Caesarea was on the Mediterranean. So 26-30. Remember, this is after his conversion. So Paul comes into Jerusalem. And when he had arrived in Jerusalem, he made attempts to join himself unto the disciples, and all were afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, taking him, brought him unto the apostles, and related unto them how the way he had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken unto him, and how at Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Yahushua. And he was with them, coming in and going out in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord, and was both speaking and discussing with the Grecian Jews, but they were setting to work to do what?
Kill him.
This is Jerusalem. And the brethren, discovering it, brought him down into Caesarea and sent him away unto Tarsus. This is your hotbed. Now we go to Acts 16. Verse 6 through 10. And Milan, you want to read 6 through 10?
Yeah.
So we're going to find out that the Apostle Paul received revelation and guidance, like we all do. So this is an example of him receiving guidance, good counsel. Go ahead.
This is chapter 6, right?
Chapter 16. 16. Yeah, 16, verses 6 through 10.
And they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian country, being forbidden by the holy rule to speak the word in Asia, but coming along Mysia, They were attempting to journey into Bithynia, and the spirit of Yahushua suffered them not, but passing by Mysia, they came down unto Taurus.
Okay, let me stop there. Two ways, you know, and this is, we're talking about with Rachel too. You follow the desires of your heart. You know, how do you know, guys, do, and if you're in fellowship, do what you want to do. And if it's not right, guess what happens? They were told, don't do this. Don't, well, I'm going to this. Don't do that. Okay. I didn't ask, should I go left? Should I go right? Should I go straight? No, you just go as, yeah, whatever is your desire of your heart. And if it's wrong, you'll be instructed. And a vision by night unto Paul appeared. A man of Macedonia was there standing and beseeching him and saying, come over unto Macedonia and bring us succor. And when the vision he had seen, straightway we sought to go forth into Macedonia, concluding that Yahweh had summoned us to tell the glad tidings unto them. Okay. So he's used to, you know, here's revelation, the information that you need to know. Now we go to 18, chapter 18, verse 9. And this is in Corinth. And the Lord said by night through means of a vision unto Paul, be not afraid, but be speaking, do not hold thy peace, inasmuch as I am with thee, and no one shall set upon thee to harm thee, inasmuch as I have much people in this city. And he remained a year and 6 months, teaching among them the word of Yahweh. Isn't that great? So you have contact upon contact. If anything, with Paul was, he was a man of action. You know, going forward, going forward. And that could be also a problem. We're going to see now when we get into going to Jerusalem. Let's see here. So, when you think about the temple, he's going to want to go to Pentecost. And so remember, here's a person, I don't know how old he is, but probably since he's 12 years old, he has spent 3 feast days in Jerusalem his whole life. And that's great fellowship. Everybody's there, everybody's praying, the food is out there, everything is going. But we've got to remember, the temple is Yahweh doesn't abide there anymore. There are unbelievers, because there's still Hebrews going to the temple, and they're actually Yahweh rejectors. So when you want to go back sometimes to old haunts, and obviously this is what's going to get him there, then actually that's not good, because you're not thinking this thing through. 20 verse 16, chapter 20 verse 16. We're going to follow this path. And many people, since you see some good things that happen now, they're going to say, well, this is Yahweh's will. He goes to Jerusalem. It's not, because he ends up being in prison for at least 2 years of his life. 26 verse 16 through 38. When do you want to read? Can you read 16 through 38?
For Paul had determined to sail past Ephesus, lest he should happen to lose time in Asia. For he hastened, if it were possible for him, against the day of Pentecost to arrive in Jerusalem. But from Miletus he sent unto Ephesus, and called for the elders of the assembly. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye yourselves well know, from the first day when I set foot in Asia, in what manner I came to be with you all the time, doing service unto the Lord with time, doing service unto the Lord with all humility and tears and temptations which befell me through the plots of the Jews. In what manner I in no wise shrank from announcing unto you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and in your homes, bearing full witness both to Jews and to Greeks as to the repentance due unto Yahweh and as to belief on our Lord Yahushua. And now, lo, I bound in my spirit, am journeying unto Jerusalem. The things which therein shall befall me, not knowing, save that the Holy Spirit from city to city doth bear me full witness, saying that bonds and tribulations await me. But for no cause whatever am I making my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Yahushua to bear full witness as to the good news of the favor of Yahweh. And now, Lo, I know that no more shall ye see my face. Y'all among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom. Wherefore I take you to witness on this very day that pure am I from the blood of all, for I have not shrunk from announcing all the counsel of Yahweh unto you. Be taking heed unto yourselves and unto all the little flock in which the Holy Spirit has set you as overseers, to be shepherding the assembly of Yahweh which he hath acquired through means of the blood of his own. I know that there will enter after my departure grievous wolves into your midst, not sparing the little flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking distorted things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Wherefore, be on the watch, remembering that for 3 years, night and day, I gave myself no rest, with tears admonishing each one. Now, therefore, I commend you unto the Lord and unto his word of favor, which is able to build up and give the inheritance among all the hallowed ones. The silver or gold or apparel of no one did I covet. Yourselves acknowledge that for my necessities and for those who were with me, hard wrought these hands. In all things I gave you to understand that thus toiling, it behooves to be helping the weak, also to be keeping in mind the words of the Lord Yahushua that he himself said, happy is it rather to give than to receive. And these things saying, kneeling down with them all, he prayed, and they all wept much. And falling upon Paul's neck, they were tenderly kissing him, being most distressed for the word which he had said, that no more should they his face behold. And they accompanied him unto the ship.
So, I was watching, I'll deal with pilots. And they said, you know, when things start going wrong, if you start off on the wrong hypothesis, instead of breaking it all down, you automatically say, well, this is a problem, it's a computer problem, but it's not a computer problem, but you've gone there. You start blocking out other information that's coming around to you because you're determined that's a computer problem. So I think we've all done that. Sometimes, you know, I've got a problem and this is what the problem is. And all of a sudden you go to, and you find out that wasn't the problem at all. It was over here. And so you start losing information. And you can see right here, they're telling him not to go. I'm going to go there to die. Well, you don't help anybody if you're dead. Now we go to 21 verse 4. And he's going to get these warnings over and over and over again. And where are the warnings coming from?
Yahweh
or Christ. And finding us the disciples, we remained there 7 days. And they, unto Paul, began to say through the Ruach that he would gain no footing in Jerusalem. It's like, why are you going to Jerusalem? These are all unbelievers. And let's see here. Now we go to 9, verse 9. Now this man had four brothers. Here's Philip again. You're talking about Philip.
Oh, okay.
Now this man, let's look at 8. Aaron was always wondering, what happened to Philip? He had chapter 8. And on the morning departing, we came to Caesarea and entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was of the seven. We abode with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who used to prophesy. And as we stayed on many, and they said, what do they prophesy about? Right, don't go to Jerusalem. That's what Dr. Roy used to say. And on many days there came down a certain man from Judea, a prophet, by name Agabus, and coming up unto us and taking Paul's girdle, he bound his own feet and hands and said, thus saith the Holy Spirit, the man whose this girdle is shall the Jews thus bind in Jerusalem and deliver up into the hands of Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of the place began beseeching him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then answered Paul, what are you doing weeping and breaking my heart? You're like, what else do you need to know, man? I mean, it really comes down to it, but you can see this the good part of Paul of just being a bull. Could also be the bad part of Paul. For I, not only to be bound, but to die in Jerusalem, am ready to in behalf of the name of our Lord Yahushua. And as he was not to be persuaded, we see saying, right here, the Lord's will be done. We stop saying, the Lord's will be done. Other people, other translations will move the comma.
Yeah.
It's very important. and we ceased, and I put the comma there, saying the Lord's will be done. So they're saying you're supposed to be going to Jerusalem. I don't know how you placed the comma. Hmm. So he broke that down. And so they stopped saying the Lord's will be done, because they think Paul didn't make a mistake. Now we go to 17, verse 20 through 28. Now when we came to Jerusalem, the brethren gladly welcomed us, and on the next day Paul went with us unto James, and all the elders were present. Now they're in Jerusalem. Who is James? And it has to be the Apostle James, which is Yahushua's brother. The whole history has been, what? Don't go to Jerusalem. Are these guys going to echo it? No. They're going to say just the opposite. So you have to say, what was wrong with these guys? Now watch this. And saluting them, he went on to narrate one by one each of the things which Yahweh had wrought among the nations through his ministry. And they, having heard, began glorifying Yahweh, and they said to him, thou observest, brother, how many mirrors there are among the Jews who have believed and all are zealous for the law. Remember back in Acts 15, it said you had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. And they fought and said, no, you don't. Now, they had heard rumors. I'm always wondering why these people are in Jerusalem, too. You know, so it really comes down to, what are you doing in Jerusalem? Because those are the people that murdered Christ.
And Stephen.
Yeah, Stephen, and you're like, I don't quite get that. And they had heard a rumor concerning thee, that apostasy art thou, teaching from Moses unto all the Jews who are among the nations, telling them not to be circumcising their children. That's true. That was Acts 15. What are you guys doing? Nor by the customs to be walking. What then is it? At all events, they will hear that thou hast come. This then do which unto thee we say. Now they're going by their senses, not by the Ruach. We have four men who have a vow upon themselves, taking these unto thee, be purifying with them, and spend something unto them, that they may shave their heads, and all of you will get to know that the things which they have heard rumored concerning thee are nothing. No, they are true. Now, what are you talking about? They're nothing. Acts 15 was no circumcision. You don't have to follow the law. You know, except, you know, what do they say? Don't eat things with blood, avoid fornication. I mean, really simple. And you're like, James and these other people, what kind of counsel is this? And on the contrary, thou thyself dost keep the ranks guarding the law. No, that's not true. And that's going back to the church, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to go there, and all of a sudden you just start compromising, and these guys are compromising. And then we saw that with Peter, compromising Galatians, and all of a sudden he was eating with the Gentiles, eating hot dogs, like you said, and when the Jews came around, he ran away.
What?
24. Well,
John that's Galatians. Hot dogs with the Gentiles.
John eating hot dogs with the Gentiles, and the Jews came up, and he ran away from the Gentiles. Oh. And then Paul said, I said to the face, you being a Jew, acting like a Gentile, but telling Gentiles not to be Jews, and on. But that the temptation to fall back is very apparent. 25. But concerning them of the nations who have believed, we ourselves sent, deciding that they should be guarding themselves both unto the idol sacrifices and blood, and what is strangled in fornication. Then Paul taking unto him men on the next day, and so they go through this, and you know what happens. Can you see it? Well, I guess we'll keep reading. 27. When, however, the 7 days were on the point of being concluded, he was about ready to die. Aha, I made it. And what are you doing in the temple? And what are you doing there? Yahweh's not being, the Ark of the Covenant's not there. Yahweh's not there. These are the people who killed your Messiah. When, however, the 7 days were on the point of being concluded, the Jews from Asia, observing him in the temple, began to urge on all the multitude and thrust upon them their hands, crying out, Israelites, be giving help. This is the man who against the people and the law and this place is teaching all men everywhere. Furthermore, even Greeks has he brought into the temple and hath profaned this holy place. So we know that's where things all went bad. And so, we're not going to go there, but as of Acts 24:27, it's 2 years that he's at least in prison. Let's see here. And we're going to see from this imprisonment, from this turmoil, we go from Acts 21:17 to Acts 27. So we have six chapters of a mistake when it comes down to. We're going to come back to Acts, but you want to go to Psalms 37, 23. What happens when we make a mistake? Now, he wasn't like David who, you know, committed fornication and murder. So he had the right intentions, but no matter what, it could be life-threatening.
Did you say Psalm
27? 37, I'm sorry. That's what I said. It's 37, 23, and 24.
The value is like witchcraft. Isn't it?
You want to read 23 and 24, Aaron?
23 and 24, yeah. 37, verse 23 and 24. And the Almighty whom we have not fully found out...
No. 37, Psalms 37.
Sorry, I thought
over
you. Okay, go ahead.
From Yahweh are the steps of a man made firm, when with his way he is well pleased. Though he fall, he shall not be hurled headlong. For Yahweh is holding his hand.
That's what we got to remember. Oops. Yeah. And also, there's a Proverbs 20. Let's go to Proverbs 24:16. Psalms, Proverbs
24:16.
Yeah. Read that, Aaron.
Yeah. For seven times may the righteous fall and yet arise, but a lawless man shall stumble into calamity.
Okay, so. Paul has fallen, when it comes down to it. It's fallen. Instead of saying, you messed up, communication is cut off. No, yeah. Yeah, and then so by communication coming to Paul, we're going to see after this, it confuses people. Because if he wasn't supposed to go there, why is Christ helping him? And now he's telling him to go to Rome. Well, you're already in a predicament. So what we're going to do now, this is not what our original plan was. You know, you could have gone to Rome a whole different route, but now you're imprisoned and everything else you're going to. So we're going to make lemonade out of lemons. I got lemons, so I'm going to make lemonade out of it.
What was that verse? Proverbs 27, what?
Yeah, 16. Proverbs 24:16. And I was saying, remember the first apostle James was murdered by Herod in Jerusalem, I would assume. And so I'm still thinking, too, that was probably a mistake. He shouldn't have been in Jerusalem. Murdering somebody does not benefit anybody. I believe Stephen's point was he's got a whole chapter, but I believe when he said, this is another teaching, that he was giving the whole account, but when he says,
you stiff-necked.
You stiff-necked and perverted generation, I think that's where he stepped over the line. And then they were killing him or stoning him, and I think he saw that was my mistake, and that's why he says, let not this sin go to their charge, because I think I did something very stupid.
No, I said shut your mouth. I've done.
Now that's a potential explanation. I don't know. Sometimes you just you know, I've been on appointments where all of a sudden don't go there, you got this, my, well, I'm going there.
Well, face the sense.
How'd that work out for you? It doesn't.
Did I miss something?
I felt good. Did I make the sale?
No. I should have made the sale.
So I remember one person said, we're from a blue state, you know. You know, I was talking about Obama, and you know, the economy is going to be really bad when Obama got in office, and he was from Massachusetts or something. But it was true. It was a bad state, but we're from a blue state. So we go to Acts 23:11. So he's in all sorts of problems. You know, he's trying to be killed. He's trying to be murdered. You know, but Christ is going to reassure him in verse 11, 23:11. This is great. But on the following night, the Lord, standing over him, said. Remember the other time, too, he said, the Lord told him, stay in here, I've got much people.
Yeah.
And so it's always, be of good courage, for as thou hast fully borne witness of the things concerning me in Jerusalem, so must thou in Rome also bear witness. Okay, so this is my new journey. I was going to go to Pentecost in Jerusalem, and now I'm really diverted to go to Rome. Well, heck, I was a lot closer to Rome when I was in Asia. I could have just gone to Rome instead of going to prison.
Right now,
you know, it comes down to that's the new order of things. So we go to 27:1. So we can see all this is about him. 27:1. He's leaving Jerusalem now because he appealed to Caesar. And as we can see, you know, Rome was such a righteous nation. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people picked on him, but who else could appeal to the emperor and get a hearing? I mean, Pol Pot and Mao Zedong, they just cut their heads off. You know, just there's no hearing like that, too. So you look at what a great civilization. I think the Persian was like that, too. So they are really, Alexander the Great, there was courts and judges and order instead of just the survival of the fittest. But 27:1 is where we start. And now when it was determined that we should sail for Italy, they proceeded to deliver Paul and certain other prisoners unto a centurion by name Julius Augustan Ban. That's where we're headed. Now we go to 9 and 10. He's getting a revelation. And when a considerable time had passed, the sailing was already dangerous because even the fast had already gone by, Paul began to advise, saying to them, "Sirs, I perceive that with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and of the ship, but even our purses, shall the voyage certainly be attended to." That obviously was great wisdom or revelation of information. Now we go to
Don't go to Jerusalem.
Yeah, 23, yeah.
Don't go to Jerusalem.
Yeah, don't go to Jerusalem. I'll die there, so we've got to get... No, I don't want you to die there. You know, because guess what? Nobody's going to believe. Mm-hmm. So what did you accomplish? It's like somebody going into Iran and a martyr or missionary, and did anybody believe? No, they just killed you. Well, then Yahweh know that nobody's going to believe? You just wasted your own life for that. So we got to make sure we're on the right page. 23, and shipwrecked for 2 weeks. Yeah. And there stood by me this
time.
Yeah, and there stood by me this night, belonging unto the Elohim who I am, unto whom also I am doing divine service, a messenger saying, "Be not afraid, Paul, for before Caesar must thou needs stand, and lo, Yahweh has granted to thee as a favor all them who are sailing with thee." So here's revelation still coming, so he's right back on track. So the lemons he had are becoming lemonades. And why this is so important is, obviously the captain's paying attention. God, we should listen to this guy. And now this, and I'm going to listen to him, because you know the sailors are going to try to get away, and the captain listens to Paul, says, "Cut the lifeboats.
Yeah,
not to escape, and kill the prisoners." No, we're not going to kill the prisoners, because that means we'd have to kill Paul too. So profitability is coming, and people are being converted. And that's 28:1-10. Aaron, you want to read this?
Chapter 28, verses 1-10. And when we were safely through, then we knew that the island was called Malta, and the natives began to show us no uncommon philanthropy. For, kindling a fire, they received us all, because of the rain that had set in, and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a certain lot of firewood into a bundle, and laid it on the fire, a viper, by reason of the heat, coming forth, fastened on his hand. And when the natives saw the brood hanging out from his hand, they began to say, one to another, "Doubtless this man is a murderer, for though brought safely through out of the sea, Justice, or Dyke, the god Justice, hath not suffered thee to live. He, however, shaking off the brood into the fire, suffered no harm."
Whereas, one thing we know, too, that Yahushua said, "Where are you going? You're going to see Caesar."
Mm-hmm.
"So I can't die on this island."
Right, right.
Yeah. Take the revelation to be able to say, "I can't die on this island, so this is not going to kill me.
Get out of here.
I love these guys."
He's got God.
Yeah, put beds.
15 minutes
down.
I got 20 minutes.
I got 5 minutes. You can take 10 minutes, you know, before he falls over.
I got his clothes.
Yeah. And they're all like, "What are you guys looking at?" "Oh, nothing."
Mouth start watering.
We know what that viper is. Okay, sorry.
Verse 6?
Yeah, verse 6.
"Whereas they were expecting that he was about to become inflamed or to fall down suddenly dead. But when they had not been long expecting and had observed nothing unusual happening to him, they changed their minds and began to say he was a Elohim.
Now, what kind of viper would this be according to those conditions?
I think I looked it
hematoma?
Up.
Hematoma?
No. Yeah, your body's on shot.
It would be
neurotoxin.
Yeah, neurotoxin. Break your spine.
Yeah, neurotoxin. So that, you know, I think sea snakes.
Yeah.
Are neurotoxins, and that stops what kills you. If you get a rattlesnake, it's a hemotoxin, and so it's in your blood, and your arm starts swelling up. But you can cut your arm off and live. A neurotoxin hits your nervous system, and you quit breathing.
Okay.
And that's why you die really quick, because you die. Okay. And that's what they're looking for. So, verse 7.
Now, in the neighborhood of that place were laid lands belonging to the chief man of the island, by name Publius, who, making us welcome for 3 days, hospitably entertained us. And it so happened that the father of Publius was feverishly heat and dysentery distressed, was lying prostrate. Unto whom Paul, entering in and praying, laid his hands upon him and healed him.
Now, did Paul heal him? Yeah, absolutely. He never even know who this guy is.
Right.
And so it wasn't that the guy believed.
Right.
I think, you know, Yahweh is still empowering people, and this guy's empowering people to bring healing. And that's bringing deliverance to this whole island.
Right. It's like the man gave beautiful silver, gold.
Yeah.
That was different, though. And when this happened, the rest also, even they in the island who were sick, were coming in and getting cured. Who also, with many honors, honored us, and when we were about to sail, put on board such things as we might need.
So what a great impact. So even by our big mistakes, we can still be very fruitful.
Put a revival here, unlike Jerusalem.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
here's an island that wants me.
And that reminds me, that's a really good point. That reminds me of Facebook. You know, it really comes down to these different groups. They are just people who generally want to know truth. Not like the pastors. You know, pastors are going to dictate what you can feed upon. And so a lot of these people are very malleable and are meek enough to search the scriptures where these things are so. That's what these people would do. In Jerusalem? No.
Once you heal somebody, they killed you.
Yeah, the religious people are sometimes the worst people, and actually they are run by the adversary, because he's right in there. The chief priests are the ones who killed Yahushua. And so think of that.
But what Izzy just said, he said when Peter healed somebody, they tried to kill Peter.
Yeah.
When he healed somebody, Jerusalem tried to kill you.
Yeah. And that was the religious sect today, and it's the same situation today. Now, I just did a paper, you might want to read it. It's showing you that anybody who reads the Bible cannot believe in the Trinity, and that includes all pastors. You know, the evidence is overwhelming that there is no Trinity in this book. So why do you do that? Because of the consequences if you don't. And we know, what are the consequences if you do not confess the Trinity?
Shunned.
Yeah, you are shunned.
Ostracized.
You are killed. You're put in prison. In times past, we saw in Britain. And I've got all these documentations of the consequences. And so people submit to it in order to be part of the group and to be accepted. And because they know, you know, and this is what the Democrat Party does. It's called the big lie. There's something called the big lie that Hitler had in Mein Kampf. And you say something over and over again, and then you actually enforce it and you protect it, that anybody who comes in, and after a while the people will believe it. They don't believe it, they just submit to it. Some of them will believe it if they have no reasoning ability. And then it comes down to your biggest enemy is truth. And so, you know, to show people that the Trinity, you know, the epistles say greetings from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's just two. It's all over the place. It never says greetings from the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It never says Trinity. It never says God the Son. It never says God the Holy Spirit. This is a no-brainer. So we used to think if we got to convert somebody, no, they don't. They already know it's not true.
It's like going to Jerusalem.
Yeah, it's like an atheist, an agnostic. They know there's a creator. They're going to say, they're going to go with their dying breath that there's no creator, but they know there's a creator. That's Romans 1, very simply. Mm-hmm. They're without excuse. These people also, can, you know, in bed they know there's no Trinity, and that includes all pastors. Mm-hmm. Now, if you haven't read the Word, you're only going to go what people are telling you. So you're just sheep out there being fed whatever they believe you. That's beside the point. Now we go to 23, and this, same chapter 28. So this is the fall at the end of the ministry, not end, at least in Acts. And having arranged with him a day, Paul's in Rome now, there came unto him to the lodging a large number unto whom he proceeded to expound, bearing full witness as to the kingdom of Yahweh, and persuading them concerning Yahushua, both from the law of Moses and from the prophet. Now, even right there, fully persuading them of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. No. Fully persuading them of Yahweh, and persuading them concerning Yahushua, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning till evening. And some indeed were persuaded by the things that were spoken, whereas others disbelieved. So if Christ cannot convert somebody, and Paul can't convert somebody, don't ever take offense, because it's a heart issue. It has nothing to do with the information. It's a heart. It's a stiff neck. And not being agreed among themselves, they began to leave. And Paul said, Yahweh bless you. Yahweh bless you. Thanks for coming by. Think about what I had to say. No, he doesn't say that. Paul, let me say one thing. Well did the Holy Spirit speak through Isaiah the prophet unto your father, saying, go thy way into this people and say, ye shall surely hear and yet will no wise understand. This is not a compliment.
Yeah.
And surely see and yet will in no wise perceive, for the heart of this people hath become dead. It wasn't the information. It wasn't a lack of information. The information was presented. It's a heart. And with their ears heavy have they heard, and their eyes have they closed, lest once they should see with their eyes, and with their ears should hear, and with their hearts should understand and return, when I could certainly heal them. It happens right back in Isaiah's time. Be it known unto you, therefore, that unto the nations have been sent forth this salvation of Yahweh, they will also hear. It's funny, they want it. You guys don't want it. Mm-hmm. So that's where we got to go to the other people. Well, I'm not going to play these games with you. You know. And he abode 2 whole years in his own hired house, and made welcome all who were coming in unto him, proclaiming the kingdom of Yahweh, and teaching the things concerning the Lord Yahushua Mashiach, with all freedom of speech, without hindrance. Probably right in Rome. Who's got their phone? I'm going to show you. Paul lived it happily ever after, but the church is going to tell you something different. Just ask, how did Paul die? See what the tradition says.
Upside down.
And while we do that, yeah, let's go to 2 Timothy 4, while he's saying that.
How did the Apostle Paul die? How did the Apostle Paul die?
According to Britannica, Paul's death are unknown, but tradition holds that he was beheaded in Rome and thus died as a martyr for his faith. His death was perhaps part of the executions of Christians ordered by the Roman Emperor Nero following the Great Fire in the city in 64 CE.
Okay. Whatever, but every apostle, they got a gruesome death. Now, let's see what the Word says. He was doing fine in Rome, right? So let's look at
his own house.
Yeah, let's look at the end of Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. For I already have been poured out as a drink offering, and the season of my release is at hand. Okay. The noble contest have I contested, the race have I faced, the faith have I kept. I haven't lost my head. Henceforth lieth by for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord will render unto me in that day, that righteous judge. Yet not alone unto me, but unto all them who have loved his first shining. Now go to 16. And in my defense, no man came in to help me, but all forsook me. And to them may it not be reckoned. But the Lord stood by me and empowered me. Now think of that. So if you stay the course, you know, people forsake you, but guess who's right with you? The Lord. Wow. In order that through me the proclamation might be fully made and all the nations might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. Now look at this promise. The Lord will rescue me from every wicked work. Was cutting off your head a wicked work?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. and will bring me safe into his heavenly kingdom, not according to the church teaching. Unto him be the glory unto the age of ages. So you're, you know, when everybody talking about this, and it's like you have to die a martyr's death to be really holy. It's just lie upon lie. Satan would love that. That's a great deal to be able to say he failed. Abraham didn't die a death like that. Moses didn't die a death like that. And Aaron didn't die. You just go on and on and on of all the David, ripe with age, gone through battle upon battle. If anybody could have been killed,
it would have been David.
It would have been David. You know, in battle upon battle upon battle. And the last part is 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 23. This guy was a bull moose.
Yeah.
And so we've got to say too, the purpose is to discourage us and to stop us from doing what we're supposed to do. So why you get whipped is, stop. Don't do that.
Yeah.
We're going to whip you. You know, we're going to speak against the Trinity. You're not going to be part of our group. You're out of this church.
Keep going.
Shut it.
We're going to call.
Oh, okay, okay. And that's all that. Oh, that's so scary. You know, I'm looking at a guy being whipped. And so we've got to look at this pressure. And we know that the Democratic Party, it's still Satan's method. It's called terrorism. That if you do not do what I say, we're going to make your life terrible. And that's what they obviously did to Donald Trump. Because you're going against the spiritual darkness. So it's always to discourage and to get you to zip it. And guess what? We won't hurt you. I got zipped. Good.
It's like having to be forced to get COVID shots.
Yeah. No, it's really good. And look what Paul, did that work on him? God dang. We're going to beat you. You pull off his shirt. Oh, somebody got here before us.
Yeah.
He's had 200 stripes on his back. Whip mark. What do you think his back looked like? Let's see right here.
Beat turkey.
23. These punks out here are saying, hey, here's the punks. Verse 13.
Wait, where are you?
What?
23 or
13? 11. Yeah, we're 11.
11, 23.
Yeah, we're going to 11, 13. I just jumped up. Here's the punks, that this is a context. They're the false apostles. Let me look at their backs. Mm-hmm. Let's see what kind of punishment they've taken.
Yeah.
Like here. For such as these are false apostles, deceitful workers, transfiguring themselves into the apostles of who?
Yeah,
Christ.
Yeah, right.
Of Christ. Let's look at their back. Now, look at my back now. Minister of Christ, are they, see, as one deranged I am talking, I above measure in toil superabundantly, in prison superabundantly, in stripes to excess, in death often, from Jews 5 times 40 save one have I received. Twice have I been beat with rods, once have I been stoned, thrice have I been shipwrecked, a day and a night in a deep have I spent. And it goes on and on and on to say, you know, that is somebody going against the grain. Like they said, with all of us, you're going to be wanting to go with the grain. And they said, like any dead fish can float downstream. It takes a live one to go against the stream.
Yeah.
And so with all of us, with the younger people, is to realize we have been called not to a picnic.
Right.
Yeah. What we've just learned here, the majority of the Christian world doesn't know. And what we learn every fellowship, the majority of the Christian world doesn't know. They know so little about the Word of Yahweh. They don't even know His name, for goodness sakes. They're Yahushua, and they're embarrassed of their name. And so, Satan just loves that, because they're powerless. You refuse to speak in tongues, you refuse to interpret, you refuse to prophesy. You got a whole chapter, 14 on this, but you say, my pastor said it went out with the apostles. So I'm covered. I'm covered.
There are no miracles anymore.
Yeah, that's
either.
Right. Because
this is just a big major.
Right. So you got whatever excuse. And that was even a bowl in her. But we'll go ahead and stop. And I'll go ahead and give a word, last prophecy for people. Father, thank you for these words for anybody in the future. My sons and daughters, be patient and use kindness as an instrument. walk forth righteously and showing people I live inside you, that you are my sons and my daughter, and who I put joy into your life, that you can whistle even when persecution comes upon you, that you can smile even when you're stoned. So just walk forth knowing that I'm behind you, and I will empower you, and I will give you great wisdom as you speak. And so listen to what I have to say and speak those words, which will silence the people. Amen. See you next week.